When I was in high school, I used to break dance. And during the lunch hour, me and a group of other break dancers, we would sneak off to this corner of the school where we largely wouldn't get interrupted. It was at the bottom of the stairs going down to the basement in the shop area of our high school. And we would spend our entire lunch hour just break dancing and having fun, and it was pretty awesome. Anyways, the reason I bring this up is because one of the guys there that was a break dancer was actually also a really good rapper, like just really, really impressive. And I asked him, like, wow, how did you get so good at what you do? And he told me the secret. And his secret to becoming a good rapper was that he memorized all of his heroes, all the rappers that he admired, he memorized all of their songs and their performance nuances, and he rapped along in their style to their tracks. He practiced to internalize their style to perform their work. And so he would do that with one group or one person, and then he'd do that with another, and then he'd do that with another, and he'd do that with another. And he said eventually he was able to write his own raps, come up with his own freestyle raps in a way where, yes, he was looping in multiple styles into his individual performance. But he didn't sound like this person or this person or this person or this person. He sounded like him. And so it's in that context that I want to respond to this question that I got. And so today it's a Mailbox Monday episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. And we're going to be talking about studying the A-list copywriting greats. The question that I got that prompted this is it possible to become great at copywriting without actually studying other successful writers? And when we do study them, are we just mixing some of their ways with your own to create copy? Sometimes it feels repetitive. Just using what you already know is proven to work from F. And so that's what I'll address in today's episode. These are the proven direct response marketing, copywriting, and entrepreneurship success strategies you can use today to write your own ticket and create the life you want. I am Roy Furr, and this is Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Now, here's today's breakthrough. Okay, so is it possible to become great at copywriting without actually studying other successful writers? Yeah, I think so. In fact, I know of at least one copywriter who became an A-list copywriter. He was one of the guys on Brian Kurtz's Mount Rushmore of boardroom copywriters who worked at Boardroom, who became a very great copywriter, and who specifically said that he hadn't really read much of any marketing books at all, and he had just learned to write copy while working at Boardroom. Now, his big benefit is that he did study one other copywriter. He studied Gary Bensavenga. He worked with Gary Bensavenga. He trained directly under Gary Bensavenga. And in fact, he worked with all the great boardroom copywriters, and he studied the other boardroom copywriters, and he learned to write like a boardroom copywriter. And so, even though he self-professed didn't really ever study marketing, he did become a great copywriter, and he looked at other great copywriting by other great copywriters. And so, even that, I would say, even the person who became a great copywriter by not studying marketing did actually have to study marketing. He just didn't do it in the way that so many of us do it, where we go out and we buy programs and we research all the popular people, etc. He just did it within a very narrow, defined bubble, in this space of studying very specific copywriters inside a very specific business. Now, if you zoom out and you look at all the other copywriters out there, most copywriters who get great actually do it by studying other successful writers. Now, The worst thing that you could fixate on, the worst thing that you could study and copy, is the superficial style of other writers. That's not to say you can't learn from it. For example, one of my most prominent phrases that comes back in pretty much every single thing that I write is, in my guarantee, I offer a prompt and courteous full refund of every penny you've paid. Prompt and courteous full refund of every penny you paid. Now, my specific wording on that might be my own, maybe, but I do think that I got it from other great copywriters very early in my copywriting business, right? Or very early in my copywriting development. And it happened because I was reading somebody's guarantee and I said, ooh, I like the way that sounds. I like the way that that's presented. And so I'm going to keep that. But for the most part, superficial details like that in terms of copywriting, studying the headline formulas, like the worst headline formula in my book is who else. Now, I know I've seen great copy written with a who else headline. I've seen copy written by great copywriters with a who else headline. And when you know how to do it right, yeah, maybe the who else headline works. But it's one of those headlines that I never use because when I study copy and I see people ripping off the superficial details in a bad way, like that's an example of one headline that I feel like I've seen ripped off in a bad way way too many times, where it just wasn't believable. It didn't resonate. And so if you're studying people and just copying those superficial details, yeah, like it's going to feel repetitive. It's going to feel derivative. It's not going to feel inspired. It's just going to feel like, yeah, like I took this stuff out of the copywriting book and I put it on the page and whatever, right? Yeah. It's like if you talk about, you know, if you're trying to write a rhyme and you're trying to be clever and you're trying to rhyme with the word orange and you talk about your 4-inch door hinge, put on a 4-inch door hinge so you could go have porridge with George, like that's an M&M rhyme. And it's not going to feel clever to anyone who actually recognizes the intricacies of that. But if you bring it outside of hip-hop and you choose to use that rhyme, for example, in, I don't know, improv comedy, it might actually hit because you're not being completely derivative inside the same space and among people who would recognize it. And so what I would say is you study other successful copywriters, not for that superficial stuff, but you look at what's the deep psychology that's going on here? What's going on below the surface? Why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they choosing to do this here? How are they presenting different things in ways that I find to be compelling and interesting? What are they doing that's working that is not necessarily something that I want to copy, like superficially copy, make it look just like they did, but what are they doing that's working that I can learn from and then apply those lessons in my own work? And then when you do that and you study X copywriter and Y copywriter and Z copywriter, when you study, you know, this A-lister, when you study some of the old books and you study some of the new books, when you study among all those things and you start to internalize everything that they're doing, and then you, this is the great thing, when you internalize the lessons, but then forget them as you are creating your own marketing, as you're writing your own copy, that's when you actually end up coming up with something that feels original. Now, one thing that's going to happen is it's always going to feel repetitive to you, especially when you get down to the elements of the copy that are like presenting an offer. Presenting an offer, if I'm spending, I don't know, let's say 40 hours writing a particular promotion, and the actual writing time is 40 hours, I'm writing the offer in like 6 hours or less. Maybe 4 hours, maybe 2 hours, just depending on, you know, how the whole promo is structured, all of that. And that always feels repetitive, but it's also pretty quick. The creative part of the copy is what the most number of prospects are going to see. And that's, you know, how am I putting together the pitch? What's the hook that's bringing people in? How am I telling this story? What are all of those additional elements so that when I get to the offer and everything is repetitive, it's just like hitting the right rhythm as we're going through. And this all came from, you know, it came from studying other successful writers and seeing that, you know, the pitch part of a promotion often does need to feel very unique. It needs to feel different, especially if you're in a competitive niche. It needs to feel like, oh my goodness, this person's bringing me something new and exciting that I've never seen before. Then you get into the deep structure of the offer, and it's largely going to feel the same. It's going to be, you know, here is the differentiation. Here's the USP of the product. Here's the outcome that it's going to get you. Here are the actual tangible deliverables that you're going to get that are going to take you to that outcome. Here is how much it's worth. Here is the reduced price relative to how much it's worth. Here's the guarantee. Here's the additional bonuses that you're going to get when you do this. Here's recapping the entire offer for you. Here's the call to action and close. Like, yeah, that's going to feel really repetitive. And maybe it's not exactly the same every time, but largely you do what works and that structure works. And so when you're studying other successful writers, if you don't want it to feel just repetitive and like you're copying, because even though we're called copywriters, it's not because you're supposed to copy, right? Like that's a completely idiotic, moronic thing for people to say like, oh, I'm a copywriter, so it means I'm supposed to copy. I actually had somebody who I had to fire from a client because he was explicitly just copying other writers' work. But this whole thing of writing copy, you're not just copying, so it's not going to feel quite as repetitive if you are studying the underlying psychology, if you're internalizing these lessons from all these different people, like my friend from high school who like memorized all these different rappers' styles as well as their lyrics and then made his own out of that. Like, yes, like to a degree, somebody who is very skilled at this skill or rapping in that case or whatever, they're going to recognize, oh, there's the inspiration there, there's the inspiration there, there's the inspiration there, there's the inspiration there. Just like bringing in, you know, yet another example, if you've actually watched Hamilton the musical, listen to the soundtrack, and you are a hip-hop fan, or if you buy the book where Lin-Manuel Miranda actually goes into detail about all the different references and everything in the lyrics, you'll actually find very specific things that are hat tips to different artists or to different people on Broadway or whatever that are all that you don't notice. If you don't know, you don't know. But then once you learn it, now you know. And it's something that's it's kind of magical to be able to look into somebody's work and recognize, oh, there's that influence, there's that influence, there's that influence, there's that influence. But then ultimately, it's about how the individual brings together all those influences and creates something unique. And oftentimes, it is only that individual who really knows all the different layers of influences that have added up to that. And going back to copywriting, when your prospect is reading your promotion, it's not going to feel repetitive to them. It's going to feel like, ooh, this person is really like speaking in things that resonate with me. So you want to study A-listers, you want to study the copywriting grades. Don't try to succeed in copywriting without seeing how other people have done it. It's just, you're making it too hard on yourself. Instead, study how other people do it. Now, I actually have two training programs that I would recommend for you. One is Think Like an A-List Copywriter, 17 Principles for Maximum Profit. And that's just me going through all those like foundational principles that A-List copywriters follow that are very, very, very deep underneath all the decision-making. And the second one is high-velocity copywriting, where I actually go through and talk about the deep psychology of different sales pitches using different big idea types. And instead of like teaching you superficial, here's the word patterns to use, it's here's the deep structure of sales pitches that work. And that's the kind of stuff that you're going to get out of a deep study of the copywriting greats. And that's what I recommend for you. What do you think? Have you tried to avoid studying the greats? Do you always study the greats? Like, is it an obsession for you? Let me know in the comments with this episode. Also, let me know on a scale of 1 to 10 how valuable you found this and why. What are your biggest action items and takeaways? Also, tap that like button before you go so you get more content like this delivered to you, and so the magical algorithms of the internet know to share it with more people like you who will find it valuable. You can certainly share it with folks directly and subscribe before you go. You can subscribe here. You can also go to breakthroughmarketingsecrets.com, get my daily emails Monday through Friday, including episode notifications and more exclusive content for email subscribers. I'm Roy Furr. This has been your daily episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. I always aim for 10 out of 10 value. I hope I've delivered it here, and I look forward to catching you again in the next episode. I'll see you soon. Bye. Thank you once again for tuning in to this daily episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Remember, check out the links with this episode for even more value. Now make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, and engage in every way you can to keep this show going and growing and delivering daily value to you. I'll catch you soon for your next big breakthrough.